Oh, we're Liberty at Night today. We're Liberty at Night. Well, what is up, all of our Liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network.
Coming at you live from Nashville, Tennessee.
That right there. How's it going today, Chuck?
Music City.
Happy Tuesday night.
You know, last night was a white wonderland.
It was. That was so weird. We got snow last night.
I'm talking some of the biggest snowflakes I've ever seen. And I'm not talking about the woke leftists. Okay. Cause they're down there too. I'm talking about this came from the sky.
Yeah. 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 It was really weird. It was 37 degrees and we had snow sticking, some kind of global warming thing happening out there.
That's right.
My car was iced over this morning when I came outside.
I called Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
And I called Al Gore.
Both of them.
And I called
Al. Just cover all the Al's.
And I called Al Green.
Al Green too.
And said,
all of them.
I said, hey, Al.
He said, what the Al?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
And they said, hey, Chuck. I said, what is this? We need to move to Mars or what?
All right, this is Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to.
It's also Liberty
at Night. It's also Liberty at Night, where we talk about
life,
night,
liberty.
Nighttime life, liberty, and the pursuit of nighttime meaning.
It's so weird because, you know, the club goes up on a Tuesday.
It does.
And so does Good Morning Liberty.
I know. We go up to Liberty at night. So if you're listening on the radio Tuesday. Right now, if it's your first time listening to us, go find our daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. Anyhow, big news, of course, it's a shocking turn of events. The Senate passed a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. There was a filibuster attempt last night. Rand Paul was out there talking, maybe a couple other guys. I don't know. I didn't see like a live filibuster streaming or anything, but it went for a while.
I did see Rand Paul, and I liked how he said, we don't even have this money.
Yeah.
We don't even have money.
I just tweeted, if we have $95 billion to send to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, then we have $95 billion to cut in taxes. You know, if we can afford this $95 billion, we can afford to cut $95 billion in taxes today. Why don't we just do that instead? How about that? We're not going to do that, though. $60 billion goes to supporting Ukraine as it defends itself from Putin's price hike invasion that began nearly 2 years ago. $14 billion of that is to allow Ukraine to rearm itself through the purchase of weapons and munitions and another nearly 50, by the way.
From American companies.
Yeah, they get to pay the prices that we paid for the weapons like 20 years ago, and they buy them from the warehouse, not what we have to pay to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a topic for another day, I guess. Another $15 billion for support services such as military training and intelligence sharing. Must be some really nice intelligence sharing that they got. Man,
they write.
I just sent an email to someone.
They write these like in gold letters.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's very, very.
Or maybe
expensive
it's on gold
stuff.
Paper.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
I would just get a Gmail account, something like that. Share, like get a Dropbox folder.
Yeah. Google Drive.
Google Drive.
You know.
We should run a country, you know.
We should.
These are good ideas. Also includes non-military assistance. $8 billion would go to help Ukraine's government continue basic operations with a prohibition on money going toward pensions. And there's about $1.6 billion to help Ukraine's private sector.
Once you give money, you can't direct it. It doesn't matter. That's a fallacy.
No, they'll use different money for that.
Exactly. It's a fallacy. Yeah. What is that? There's a name for it. I can't remember.
I don't know.
It is an economic fallacy to think that you can partition money in certain areas. You can't. Because
fungible. T-Dub coming
there
in
is,
with,
fungible.
A, with a word.
Because here's the thing. Yeah, they can't spend the $8 billion
towards pensions.
Towards pensions, but they'll take the $8 billion they need to spend on pensions that they already have and spend it on pensions.
Well, they were going to use their own $8 billion to keep their government going with basic operations. Now we're going to do that. So they're going to use their $8 billion
to pay
to go
pensions.
Towards the other stuff that they're not supposed to use it for. That's how it works. About a third of the money allocated to support Ukraine actually will be spent replenishing the U.S. military with the weapons and equipment that are going to Ukraine. So a third of this is actually just buying back weapons that we've already sent to them. Still Ukraine aid, I guess, but it is leading the people tweeting, saying, why do Republicans hate the military? This is to buy weapons to defend ourselves. So all of a sudden, Republicans hate the troops. $480 million to help Ukrainians displaced by the war as well.
Wait, hang on. Go back because Mitch McConnell.
Yeah,
he said He said that the money is about rebuilding the arsenal of democracy. Okay. And demonstrating to our allies and adversaries alike that we're serious about exercising American strength. See, that's the problem. We haven't been serious lately about exercising America's strength.
We've never tried to do
and
that.
And just like any muscle, if you don't exercise it, it deflates.
It atrophies, you know?
Exactly.
We just can't do anything.
Yeah.
The arsenal of democracy. That's kind of, don't you hate it when a democracy lands on your house and kills your family?
I know.
I just hate that. Oh, seen it a million times.
And they, God, both sides use these ridiculous buzzwords. Ugh.
Israel, $14 billion would go to support Israel and the U.S. military operations in the region. $4 billion would go to boost Israel's air defenses with another $1.2 for Iron Beam, a laser weapon system designed to intercept and destroy missiles. Yes, Jewish lasers. That's what that's going for.
Are they attached to the sharks?
Yeah, I think
on,
so.
On their heads?
There's also $2.5 billion to support U.S. military operations in the region. I still want to ask this question that no one has answered yet. Is Israel over here sitting around saying, oh, we want to destroy Hamas, but we just don't have the money to do it? You know, we would bomb Gaza, but we just don't have any weapons. We just don't have any bombs. We just have to wait for the United States to send us money to do this. No, they're doing fine. They're doing fine.
In fact, I think their finances are in better order than ours.
They are. This is simply in the bill to try and get some Republicans to support it, and so we can signal to Israel that we are behind them. It also contains $9.2 billion in humanitarian assistance to provide food, water, shelter, and medical care to civilians in Gaza and the West Bank. So we'll pay to bomb the people in Gaza, and then we'll pay to help the people in Gaza that got bombed.
It's literally the definition of the government breaking your leg and then giving you crutches.
It's the same thing. It's just taken to its fullest extent.
Yeah, except bombs. They're going to blow off your leg.
Yes.
So you'll need prosthetics.
Let's see. None of this other stuff is super important. Spending related to China, $8 billion would go to support key partners in the Indo-Pacific and deter aggression by the Chinese government. Bill includes $1.9 billion to replenish U.S. weapons provided to Taiwan and about $3.3 billion to build more U.S.-made submarines in support. I'll probably get you about two submarines in support of a security partnership with Australia and
probably one
UK. Yeah, maybe yeah. One. Other provisions, it includes $400 million for a grant program that helps nonprofits and places of worship make security enhancements and protect them from hate crimes.
Mm.
Had they discussed enhancing criminal penalties for hate crimes over there? I think that would probably deter aggression. There's also language that would target sanctions on criminal organizations involved in the production of fentanyl.
That's because these terrorists are high.
Mm-hmm. That's why they do so much crazy stuff.
That's why they do
and
that.
And it's all a search for more fentanyl. That's what it is.
You know who won in this bill? American military manufacturers.
Military contractors. That's who won.
Love that money.
The defense systems. Let's see. We got some videos here from Rand Paul. By the way, 22 Republicans voted yes on this bill. I looked. I didn't see Marsha Blackburn on there, and I was surprised, actually. So I don't know. Maybe I'll vote against her less hard, but still.
So this was
against
like all Democrats.
Yeah. Basically? I mean, they've got, what is it? 51 to, what's the margin in the Senate? 51 to 49, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is. And they have to get over 60 for the filibuster, but they got 22 Republicans to vote along with them. It ended up with 70 senators voting to pass this. I'm not sure exactly how the math works out on that, but McConnell,
Romney.
Romney. Anyone, I mean, there's no shocking names on this list. We've got, let's see, a video from Rand Paul talking about this is bad. And so here's Rand Paul saying this is bad.
I care about the bankrupting of America.
That's weird.
I care about the looting of our treasury. There can be an honest debate over national security or what is in our vital security. But there never is a debate. If you look closely at what people say, they'll simply declare it's in our national security to send money to Ukraine. There isn't really a debate. I actually think it's the opposite. I think sending money to Ukraine actually makes our national security more endangered. I think it threatens our vital national security to send more money to Ukraine. Why? Because I think it threatens the fiscal solvency of our country.
All right, so that's Rand Paul's take on the matter. Whew, that was weird when it's only on one side like that. Really
just what Putin said, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is the solvency of America.
I wonder, you know, there's really no plan for how Ukraine is going to win this war. I do wonder if this is just a plan to try and outspend Russia, basically, to just kind of keep them going until they have to give up on the whole thing. I mean, that's probably part of the plan. When it comes to Israel, they really don't seem to need our money. We're just going to be signaling that they have our support. I don't think that what Israel is doing is going to achieve their objectives. You know, if we go all the way back to our October conversations on this matter, the biggest thing is, even if you support Israel and their right to defend themselves, which you do have a right to defend yourself when someone attacks you, maybe they've gone slightly too far, you know, killing 30,000 people, kind of more than were killed over there. Mm-hmm. So we might disagree with the way that they've done this. Regardless of how you feel about it, if you want Israel to be safer, I think that the exact opposite has happened. I think that they have ensured that they will be in more danger for generations because of what they've done. And that, even if you support what they're doing, that should not be the outcome you're looking for.
Do you think if America goes to war that Israel sends funding to America?
I don't know. I want to see a list of the countries that provide us with money.
With financial aid.
Being the country that's $34 trillion in debt and all that, I want to see who's sending us money to keep protecting them all over the place. That's not how it works. Here's Mitch McConnell talking about how important this is, and that basically we have to protect our empire and we need to get serious. And the people should be serious about this. So here's what he had to say.
In democracy.
Democracy.
And in peace. I know it's become quite fashionable in some circles to disregard the global interests we have as a global power, to bemoan the responsibilities of global leadership, to lament the commitment that has underpinned the longest drought of great power conflict in human history. This is the idle work for idle minds, and it has no place in the United States Senate.
Compelling and rich.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Wow.
Right there.
Almost jumped out of my seat.
Yeah. I'm enthused about this.
I feel like I need to do a workout.
Yeah. If you think that we shouldn't be doing this, the people who are arguing that this is idle work for idle minds. Every time he takes a pause before the next word, I'm like, oh my God, it's happening again. He's going to freeze. It's going to happen. But
the other thing he said there that was kind of weird was, this is the longest stretch without like a global power, you know, being at war.
Yeah.
Essentially,
this is the longest stretch of peace we've had in history.
It's too long.
Yeah.
Too much.
Well, we've had to have a lot of wars to have that peace. You know, think of all the wars we've had going on over our entire lifetimes to ensure that we weren't at war.
It's so strange sometimes thinking about that we're in 2024 now, mm-hmm. and humans are still killing each other.
Same thing.
It's so wild.
Here's what Mitt Romney had to say about it. Man, there was a time in history where I thought he should be the president.
Did you vote for him?
I didn't vote in that election. No, I didn't. I was too lazy, but I did want him to win. I did. I'll be 100% honest right now.
Against Obama?
No cap. I wanted him to win. And it wasn't because Obama was black. Okay? It wasn't.
Sure.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Ever.
Yeah. Okay. There's the clip right there. This vote
is the most important vote. Ever.
As a United States senator, this vote to borrow money or inflate our currency and give $95 billion amongst these three different countries is the most important vote that any of these guys are ever going to take. That's how important this is.
The only problem I see with this is, at the very beginning, he didn't say, let me be clear.
Mm.
So it sounded a little muddy.
Yeah. Could be lying right now since he didn't say, let me be clear.
Exactly.
Okay. Who else do we have on this thing? Oh, there is, by the way, there is like a little bit of good news on this topic. I know we're talking about the crazy stuff right now. I guess it's good news. I still think it's going to happen. But Speaker Mike Johnson says that this is DOA. He's not going to bring it to a vote. If he brings it to a vote, it'll pass because they have a very thin margin. All the Democrats will vote in support of it, and a lot of the Republicans will vote in support of it, so it will pass. And right now, he is saying that he is not going to bring it to a vote. I saw a lot of people saying that, of course, he's afraid of democracy, you know, if he would just bring this to a vote. But I think that some rules like this are, it is good that we have these kinds of safeguards against things. Of course, Democrats would use it to their advantage as well. Mm-hmm. If there was a Republican Senate and a Democrat House and Republicans passed something they didn't like, they would do the same thing. And it is kind of a safeguard to do checks and balances, I think is what we should call it. I just made that up right there on the spot. Yeah. But I think that that's what we should call it.
Balance and checks.
What do you think?
Balance and checks.
Balance and checks. Yeah, we can call it that instead.
Yeah.
We don't have to...
Prestige worldwide.
He says Republicans were crystal clear from the very beginning.
House Republicans were crystal clear
from the very beginning of discussions that any so-called national security legislation must recognize that national security begins at our own border. The House acted 10 months ago to help enact transformative policy change by passing the Secure Our Border Act. And since then, including today, the Senate has failed to meet the moment. The Senate did the right thing last week by rejecting the Ukraine, Taiwan, Gaza, Israel immigration legislation due to its insufficient border provisions. See, where I don't like this guy is that if it would have had these sufficient border provisions, then this $90 or so billion still would have been able to go out to these other countries. Yeah. So you're not actually against it. Just say you're not against it. You might as well go ahead and pass it. You're saying you're not against it.
This is the politicians just play both sides.
I know.
You know? They want to make sure that their constituents who support Israel and Ukraine are happy and the ones who want the border secure are happy. It's not about the principle, the fact that we don't have the money.
We can borrow money. We're doing
fine.
It
doesn't exist.
Doing just fine. Let's see what you're all worked up about, man. We got plenty of money. Mm-hmm. Guys, are you the same guy you were 10 years ago? Because I'm not. I woke up one day and realized I didn't have the same energy, the same lean muscle mass, or the get up and go in the bedroom I used to have. As we age, we lose testosterone. They call it the man hormone. I call it the spark from my nateness. But there is a solution. The powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T. I've only been taking this for a few weeks, but I can already tell you it's boosted my energy. I'm running around fixing stuff in the house, going on walks, and yes, I've even started working out. And by the way, my wife says this is none of your guys' business, but the Nate she met 14 years ago is back in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. Nugenix Total T testosterone booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself risk-free. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword GML. Nugenix Total T's power boost is backed by clinical studies and real science. Nugenix's key ingredients like Testofen has been shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. In other words, it's based in science and it works. Nugenix Total T's unprecedented formula with key ingredients that safely maximizes your free and total testosterone levels helps you increase lean muscle mass and skyrockets your performance as you age, whatever your age. If you're not totally satisfied, Nugenix will refund 100% of your purchase price plus shipping and processing. Now get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword GML. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword GML. Text 231 231 and enter keyword GML. Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one, doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022. The White House is confirming that Biden will not take a cognitive test as part of his upcoming physical exam. According to this Twitter page, Biden will be the first U.S. president in history. I don't believe anything I read on Twitter. But I did want to play this before we get to the Jon Stewart thing from last night. Did you see the Jon Stewart
clip? I did not.
Does the White House...
He's back. And it was good. And I'm going to talk... This could be White Pill Wednesday. But I'm not just going to say, oh, that was funny, that was funny. It's really good to have this. We'll talk about that here in a second. But here's what KJP had to say about Biden's cognitive abilities.
Think that the idea of the president taking a cognition test, a cognitive test, as a part of this physical is a legitimate idea, particularly just on the heels of the special counsel report, more polling, as my colleague Selena just mentioned, showing that many American people have concerns about that.
Look, I got this question last week as well, and I'm just going to say what Dr. O'Connor, it's kind of a what he said to me about a year ago when the report came out last year, obviously on his physical, which is the president proves every day how he operates, how he thinks.
Yes, he does.
Right? But by dealing with world leaders, by making really difficult decisions on behalf of the American people, whether it's domestic, whether it's national security. And so he shows it every day on how he thinks, how he operates. And so that is how the Dr. O'Connor sees it. And that's how I'm going to leave it.
What do you think about the idea of...
So she's right. He does show every day how
he's
he thinks.
Incapable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way more than people. I actually, yeah, she goes on to say, I don't know if I cut it off too soon, but she goes to say these key words that have clearly been sent out to everyone. The first thing you have to say is that he's sharp. It's the first word. Mm-hmm. Did she say that in this clip yet?
Uh-oh.
Let me see. I don't know why there's music. Why do people put music in the background and stuff? It's so weird.
Kind of a test.
I believe for me, you're asking me my personal opinion. He is sharp. He is on top of things. When we have meetings with him, with his staff, he's constantly pushing us, trying to get more information.
Like why they are there and what room he is in.
And what day is it?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Who am I?
Where's Bo?
Where are we? Did you invite Bo to this meeting? Why
like
is he
that,
not here?
Yeah. He's constantly pushing for more information all the time. She's lying.
Yeah.
She's lying. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that. Everyone in the room knows that she's lying.
Am I still vice president? Where's Obama?
The sick thing that we've gotten to is everyone in the room knows she's lying. She knows that she's lying. She knows that everyone in the room knows that she's lying. And they know that she knows that she's lying. All of them have agreed upon this fake thing that they're going to do right now where she says the words and they report them, and then us idiots out here are just supposed to believe it because these people said that it's so.
Yeah.
And that's what they believe should happen.
Yeah, it's also called gaslighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's get into the Jon Stewart thing. So he did this, he's doing a once a week thing.
It's basically like don't pay attention to what Joe Biden actually says.
Don't believe your lying eyes and ears.
Yeah, don't pay it. That's why it's gaslighting.
Because mm-hmm.
you can actually... You know what's going on, and they're trying to make you feel crazy. You know, like, he's sharp. This guy's the best I've ever seen. Yeah, greatest president. Bidenomics, baby.
No one believes it at
it's
all.
It's ridiculous.
Now, Jon Stewart is back, I think, one day a week. I think on Mondays he's coming back and doing this. And this clip right here, which the original clip was 7 minutes.
But did he retire?
Yeah, he left. He retired 9 years ago, I think.
9 years.
9 years. I know.
What has he been doing since?
He tried a show on Apple.
Oh, that's right.
Can't remember the name of it right now, but it was terrible. I couldn't make it through 5 minutes of the show because it was just super hard, annoying lefty stuff. It was not the Daily Show format, which he is perfect for. Like, the Daily Show was a good comedy show. Weirdly enough, it morphed into this thing where a lot of people our age considered it like their number one source of news. And the good thing is, he actually covered things from both sides, which is what people are upset about. People on the left are upset with John Stewart right now because he talked about how Joe Biden is old. And it reminded me of the whole Wuhan, China coronavirus lab leak, and that he was the one. He kind of broke the glass ceiling. He changed the Overton window or whatever on it being acceptable to say that COVID leaked from a lab by going on, I guess, Stephen Colbert's show. And wasn't too long after that, it was something that we were able to talk about. And so I'm actually encouraged by the fact that he is out there doing this thing about Biden and about Trump, because maybe he's the kind of guy who's going to break the ceiling again, or going to change the way that we're allowed to talk about this. Maybe people on the left and the right potentially will start to take this seriously. And so here is, it's a 4-minute clip of Jon Stewart's bit from last night.
It is not crazy to think that the oldest people in the history of the country to ever run for president might have some of these challenges. Now, Democrats will say that any criticism like this, especially of Biden, is unfair because you just don't know Biden like they know Biden.
President Biden is sharp. He's focused. He's bright.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
He's smart. He's on his game.
I was in almost every meeting with the president, and the president was in front of and on top of it all.
Did anyone film that? Yeah. Because if you're telling us behind the scenes he is sharp and full of energy and on top of it and really in control and leading, you should film that. That would be good to show to people instead of a TikTok where he goes, okay. Of course, when it comes to Republicans, they've got a different strategy for their 77-year-old candidate.
Well, first of all, Donald Trump is not an old man.
He's an old man. He is objectively an old man on a human scale. Trump is objectively old. That is not being ageist. That is being human lifespanist. They are the oldest people ever to run for president, breaking by only 4 years the record that they set. The last time they ran. They are at the age, they are objectively old. They're at the age, you know what? I think we've got a new name for our election coverage. Indecision 2024 Antiques Roadshow. All right. What's crazy is thinking that we are the ones as voters who must silence concerns and criticisms. It is the candidate's job to assuage concerns, not the voter's job not to mention them. I didn't want to have to do this on my first day. Come over here. Look at me. Look what time hath wrought. Look, I'm like 20 years younger than these. The stakes of this election don't make Donald Trump's opponent less subject to scrutiny. It actually makes him more subject to scrutiny. If the barbarians are at the gate, you want Conan standing on the ramparts, not chocolate chip cookie guy. Look, the next 9 months or so, and maybe more than that, depending on the coup schedule, they're gonna suck. You're gonna be getting emails with insane subject lines like, "Hello, John, it's Chuck Schumer." "Donald Trump is right behind you with a knife." You're gonna get inundated with robocalls and push polls and real polls, and people are gonna tell you to rock the vote and be the vote and vote the vote and finger bang the vote. And it's all going to make you feel like Tuesday, November 5th is the only day that matters. And that day does matter. But man, November 6th ain't nothing to sneeze at, or November 7th. If your guy loses, bad things might happen, but the country is not over. And if your guy wins, the country is in no way saved. The work of making this world resemble one that you would prefer to live in is a lunch pail job, day in and day out. So the good news is, I'm not saying you don't have to worry about who wins the election. I'm saying you have to worry about every day before it and every day after, forever. Although, on the plus side, I am told that at some point, the sun will run out of hydrogen.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's good stuff. I didn't realize how much I missed seeing Jon Stewart on The Daily Show because Trevor Noah was terrible. Like, they, after he left, they went like a strictly crazy leftist position. He actually left right before Trump took off, actually before the election, Jon Stewart left. And once Trump won, I mean, they just went crazy partisan leftist, and that's all it was. And it just was not funny. Because there has to be a little bit of truth in jokes for them to be funny. So nothing that they ever said was actually funny, because things that people on the left believe often are not true. And so that's the reason there. This could actually, I'm hoping, this could actually change some things, like when he was the first person to go out there on Colbert and say, of course this virus leaked from the lab in China.
Right.
Of course it did.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? And right after that, we were allowed to talk about it. He was the guy who went out there and did it. And maybe this right here, him coming out here and saying, of course Joe Biden is too old. Of course he's not making any sense. We see it.
And so is Trump.
And so is Trump. They're both too old.
They're both old. You know? Yes.
And so I'm hoping that maybe somehow this guy, Jon Stewart, is going to allow everyone to talk truthfully about some things. Now, he said some stuff at the end that I sort of took issue with, or that I wish wasn't true. When he's talking about how important the elections are, he's saying, you know, it's not just the 5th of November. It's every day after that. And he says it's not just that date. It's important. It's every day leading up to it and every day after that, you know, making sure. You know,
and kind of said the responsibility's on you. The onus is on you.
He did.
Go out and make the best day possible.
He said that even if your guy wins, it doesn't mean the country is saved after that. You know, it's on you. I sort of wish it wasn't the case that the government and that the president had so much power and influence in people's lives and in the world that that wasn't the scale of how important the election was. It shouldn't matter. It really shouldn't. They have so much more power than they should. And the fact that there are so many people that feel like their lives depend on the right person getting elected into these offices is a problem. You shouldn't just say, well, so we have to make sure we're vigilant and that they're doing the right stuff. No, we gotta tackle that problem right there. Why does this person have so much power that it's the case that your life depends on who
that
wins?
They constitutionally
it.
Should not have.
Yeah, they should not. All these agencies they have that regulate everything to death and control our lives and the wars that we start and keep going forever, all these things, they shouldn't be happening. And that's the conversation I hope he has next, that it should not be this important who wins this election.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's what I had to say about that. Now,
well, and here's the other thing, you would get better candidates because then you wouldn't have narcissists seeking the position.
That's true.
You would actually have people who want to be public servants, because that's all they would be able to do is serve the public.
Mm-hmm.
So you would actually get the right people in office, so to speak. Now, not perfect, of course, no one's perfect, but you would actually have the right people vying for the job, not people who are seeking power and want to control everything.
I was trying to bring up this screenshot I forgot to put in the show notes right here from the Rolling Stone. Is Jon Stewart still the right person to host The Daily Show? The comedy vet makes his return to the desk he left in 2015, but his both sides are equally bad approach may not translate to 2024. And of course, the article is
actually,
all about
I
how...
I think that's where most of America sits.
I know, but that's not where the left media wants to sit. That's not where they are.
I know, but you want to talk about ratings.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would love to see the numbers on this compared to what Trevor Noah had, because this article talked great about how Trevor Noah was the perfect person to come in and did a great job with the show. you know.
People didn't watch it because he was black. That's probably the problem.
Racism was the problem then.
Now that we got a white guy back in there.
Mm-hmm. Now the ratings are going to go back up. And so it is cool to see. It's not cool to see. It's funny to make fun of them. People on the left and the left media coming out saying, oh, no, you can't do this thing that he used to do, which was that both sides were bad. Back when we weren't about to be in World War III, if Trump gets elected, which was trending earlier on Twitter today, funny enough, like the guy who didn't start any new wars versus the guy who we just had to spend another $95 billion to give the people who are at war right now because of what's going on in the world. Well, we haven't spent it yet. Sorry, they just voted on that. We'll see if it actually goes through. It will. You know, which guy's actually going to take us into World War III? They're saying that it's just too dangerous. The stakes are too high to do this. Both sides are equally bad thing. It's got to be a strictly, you have to be against people on the right TV show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the stakes are too high.
Because there's too many TV shows on the right saying the left is bad.
I know.
You know? Yeah. There's way too many publications.
Mm-hmm. So many people in media out there just
right
talking about the
left.
Wing
domestic terrorists. They've got control over most of the media.
Yeah, they control everything, schools, the media.
So we need media fighting back against that.
Finally. Okay, that's all we got. That's our time limit for today.
Did you hit the mark?
We hit the mark.
Oh, I thought it was 37.
No, 32 was the actual mark.
Oh, mm-hmm. See? This is what happens when you set goals, folks.
Crushed them.
You can hit the mark if you set a goal.
When we were at 28 minutes earlier and we had finished that clip, I was like, got to make up 4 minutes worth of BS right
now. See, I wasn't thinking
about
that.
People to listen to.
Because I just felt it.
You were in the moment.
Felt it in my
heart.
You
were talking as things came up. Yeah.
We don't know who Mark is, but.
I don't know. We hit him. Screw that guy, Mark.
Yeah.
Blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
All right.
That guy. You know, he's old. Trump and Biden. You know, perhaps it's good that RFK Jr.'s running. Maybe he'll win. There'll be enough people that don't want Biden or Trump.
I do, oddly enough, have these moments, and I have to snap out of it, but I have these moments where I kind of wish he would win, even though I think I'm not one of these guys who says RFK is good on anything. I don't think he's good on anything. I think it's a broken clock is right twice a day thing. In my mind, to be a contrarian, I say a broken clock is never right.
And in Usher's mind, it's 7 o'clock on the dot.
It is. But I don't think he's actually good on anything. And the things that he is, quote, good on would be for the wrong reasons, which is very dangerous. But anyway, the point of this, I find myself sometimes feeling like it would be a breath of fresh air to have him come in and be the president.
Just to see the Republicans and Democrats not win.
I feel like it would somehow be less stressful. Like the anxiety level of the entire country would go down. Now, economics is what I find to be the most important thing, which is why out of all the candidates, I think Nikki Haley is the best option. But I would throw my support, you know, behind Trump.
You heard it here.
No, I just got mad last night because
Nate is not a never Nikki.
I got mad last night because Trump released another ad just trying to rip apart Nikki Haley for wanting to do entitlement reforms. And I'm like, dude, you've got to be fucking kidding me right now. This has to happen. This is the fiscal cliff. If we don't touch this, nothing else matters. We might as well send this. You're mad about money going to Ukraine? Nothing else matters if we don't do anything with entitlement reform. Anyone who doesn't take
Trump
that seriously is not serious.
Trump will be dead by then.
So he doesn't need Social Security anyway.
Actually, most of the politicians, I think, will be dead in the next 10 years.
That actually made my blood pressure go down right then. I felt it.
Just like when he said,
yeah.
You know, someone told him that eventually the sun will run out of hydrogen, you know?
So does this matter, you know?
There is hope.
I mean, that's going to be like millions of years probably. But
there is hope in the darkness.
And it's darkness.
When the sun finally goes out.
All right, let's go.
All right, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share the show with a friend, a family member, or anyone else for that matter. If you didn't enjoy the show, share it anyway. And if you don't care like I don't, then go visit all the websites that we tell you about in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. I don't even have to tell you what they are. And you don't have to rewind and go back and be like, what did he say? I dropped my crayon.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. But you just look in the show notes. If you're driving, pull over, or put your Tesla on Autopilot after you do the software update from the recall.
Either one.
And then
when you get it back from the shop.
Then click those links in the show notes. Text the numbers you're supposed to text. Do all the things. And if you do, then we'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.